The reading is from, as Phil said, from Zechariah, and it's chapter 2, verses 10 to 13. Shout and be glad, O daughter of Zion, for I am coming, and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day, and will become my people. I will live among you, and I will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. Amen.
I've sent out a few of these already. Just a sheet with some questions on, just to help you think through what we're looking at this morning. If that's useful to you, if you'd like one of those, just help yourself. If you asked an ancient Israelite at the foot of Mount Sinai, where is God? They might not have answered you, at least not with words. They might have just sort of raised a trembling finger and looked and pointed at the top of the mountain. Because there, on the top of Mount Sinai, God had descended in fire and thunder and flashes of lightning and the blast of the trumpet. And those who were watching God descend on the mountain, trembled where they stood. Later on, as the nation of Israel traveled on foot, trudging through the wilderness, they would have pointed probably to the pillar of cloud ahead of them, guiding them through the wilderness during the day, and during the night, the pillar of fire in front of them. That was where God was, where the presence of God was. When they were instructed to build the tabernacle, God's special tent in the wilderness, in the middle of their camp, God's glory visibly came and settled on the tabernacle. And they would have pointed, like, that's where God is. And then years later, when the people were no longer wandering through the wilderness and they had settled, King Solomon ordered the construction of the temple, God's magnificent dwelling place among his people. And the glory of the Lord visibly filled the temple. It was amazing. That was where God was. And if you ask them, hey, Israelite, where is God? With exuberant joy and reverent worship, the Israelites would say, well, God is with us. Look, there's his temple. He's with us. With great joy. And they were the only group of people in the world who could say that. If God was with them, then it made them unique. It gave them belonging and identity. God was with them in a special way and not in the same way with other people. These people were unique in that regard. God was among them, therefore they were his people. And because God was with them, the people of Israel were the epicenter, the heart of God's work on earth. Israel was the core from which and through whom God would transform the whole world. All nations would be drawn in when they saw God at work among them. He was with them. They could have confidence in God's power and his enabling, his ability to act mightily on their behalf, because he was among them. And the people of Israel didn't have to think hard or travel somewhere on the other side of the world to do what they were made to do, because they were made to be worshippers of God, and the God that they were worshipping was with them. God's presence could be felt, and his glory could be seen, because he wasn't far away. He wasn't up there somewhere, I think, vaguely. No, God was with them. Sounds good, doesn't it? But fast forward to Zechariah chapter 2, our Bible passage today. Hopefully you've still got it in front of you. It's been nearly 70 years since the ancient Israelites were invaded by the Babylonian Empire and enslaved. And the city of Jerusalem was destroyed, and so was the temple. And it's been nearly 20 years since the Babylonian Empire was swallowed up by the Persian Empire, and King Cyrus said that all the Israelites could go back if they wanted. And the walls of Jerusalem had been rebuilt, but no temple yet. And the nation is just a shadow of what it used to be. And the national mood is low. Morale is low. And if you asked someone, "Hey, Israelite, where is God?" they might have said, "Oh, he's gone." They might have said, "Oh, he's in heaven." That would have been right. The spiritual realm, God's throne room, which we can't see. But was he with them? There was no temple to point to. Was he with them? And as God's people today, as followers of Jesus today, is God with us? In the book of Zechariah, God speaks through Zechariah the prophet and says to his people, God is with his people, so shout and sing for joy. That's in verses 10 and 11. Let's read those first couple of verses again. Shout and be glad, daughter Zion, for I am coming and I will live among you, declares the Lord. Many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. I will live among you, and you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. If you were to make a list of some of the most heartwarming things on YouTube, somewhere near the top, I imagine, would be those compilations of people returning home at the airport. Troops returning from overseas, siblings being reunited at the airport after months spent traveling, family members or couples running to each other at the airport arrivals lounge. Those videos are so heartwarming because they always have these displays of uninhibited, exuberant joy. God tells his people to shout and sing for joy, calling them his daughter Zion, this term of intimacy and affection. God says that he is coming. He's coming back. And he will live among them again. And the kind of joy that he calls his people to is a sort of airport arrivals lounge kind of joy. You're here. Having endured exile, having lost everything, maybe even some of them feeling, look, are we still God's people? God will come to them, he says. He's coming. God gave them hope that someday the temple, the place of God's dwelling, would be rebuilt. And sure enough, we see in Scripture that the temple is eventually rebuilt, God's dwelling place with his people. Because God will be with his people, their purpose will be restored. Verse 11 says that. Verse 11 describes the many nations being joined with the Lord when he lives among them. Because that was always God's intention, that Israel would be God's chosen instrument to draw in the surrounding nations. That multitudes would be gathered to him and would join his people and be set apart as his special people, adopted into his family. God's amazing promise here to live among his people is fulfilled in an even more spectacular way, something that we celebrate and anticipate in Advent. John writes later in the Bible, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John here is speaking about Jesus of Nazareth, that God became a human being and lived among us, lived with us. So we see God's promise here through Zechariah coming to fruition fully in Christ. And not only that, but John said, we have seen his glory. So the glory of God, which the Israelites saw on Mount Sinai, on the tabernacle, in the temple, is now seen clearly in Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. And not only did Jesus of Nazareth claim to be God dwelling among us, but he made even more incredible promises to those who put their faith in him. John 14 says, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Again, a promise of God with us. Now, you could say, okay, well, that's clearly not true, because maybe Jesus really was God, but Jesus died, didn't he? And, okay, he rose, but he went up, and so he's up there now. And he's left us on our own. So we can't really say that God's with us anymore. Maybe he was, but now he's up there. But in saying that he will make his home with them, Jesus was referring to the Holy Spirit. Through God the Holy Spirit, Jesus would continue to live among his people, not physically, but spiritually, inside us and among his people. So God can say through Zechariah with absolute truthfulness that he is going to come and live with his people and that he will never leave them. So God says to his people, shout for joy, or in other translations, sing for joy, God with us. The people that God was speaking to in Zechariah's day would have probably looked back to the glory days behind them. In the days of their parents and their grandparents, when they had the temple and things were good and things felt good and it felt obvious that God was with them. And now looking around and thinking, oh, well, where is God now? Is he definitely with us? Are the glory days when we saw God in action and we knew and we felt that he was with us? Are they behind us now? Perhaps that resonates with you this morning. That for you personally, or maybe for us as a church, that maybe things aren't like they used to be. And you can look back in your life and think, well, I remember times when I knew that God was with us and God was with his people, and maybe now you don't really have that assurance. Maybe you were part of the group that started this church from Woody Road, and you look back and you think, oh, well, those, you know, times were better then. It was, you know, it felt good. And now we're in a canteen on orange chairs, and I just sat on a puddle of ketchup again. And, you know, is God with us? What's God doing with GCK? If you've surrendered your life to Jesus, as surely as Jesus of Nazareth walked the earth, he lives in you and among us today. And because God is present in and among his people, we can expect to see him work wonders in Kidlington. To see those who are blind to God receive sight as they recognize Christ for who he is. We can expect to see those who are friendless and lonely welcomed into God's family. We can expect to see people who are aimless and drifting, empowered and equipped to serve the body of Christ on earth. We can expect to see suffering people continue to rely and delight in Christ as their greatest treasure, clinging to him even in the face of death. GCK, we are tiny and insignificant in the eyes of the world, but unfathomably precious to God, and we can have confidence in the power of God because of his presence with us. We are, in Kidlington, we are at the epicenter of what God is doing in the world, transforming lives, precisely because he is with us. God is with his people, so let's sing and shout for joy. This passage is a fantastic reminder as well that because God is with us, he's not just some sort of intangible presence up there when we're talking about God. Because through Jesus, God is not just up there, but down here. Through Jesus, God can be known and experienced and even enjoyed. It's incredible news for those around us. Maybe if you're like me, you would be rubbish in a discussion about philosophical reasons why there is a God. But wonderfully, God doesn't ask us to be skilled philosophical debaters. He asks us to get to know him. He doesn't expect that. He wants us to know him, the person who is with us. And actually, Jesus goes further and invites us to be his friends. We're not merely sharing a way of life with the people of Kidlington, but joyfully telling them about a person that we know. God, who is with us. God is with his people. So shout and sing for joy. Secondly, God is with his people, so be still before him. That's verses 12 to 13. Let's read those verses again. The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem. Be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. With these words, God wants to comfort his people, Israel, Judah, his inheritance, he says, his portion. He will again choose Jerusalem, he says. He wants them to know that in spite of the hard years of exile, he hasn't forgotten his people. He hasn't moved on. They are still special to him, and he is still coming to be with them. The thought of God being with his people again, living among them, is cause for celebration. But at the same time, what's happening is so significant, it's cause for stillness and reverence. God says in verse 13, be still before the Lord, all mankind, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. Now, if you heard that next week the President of the United States of America is going to visit your home in Kidlington, you might scoff. In fact, some of you might start rehearsing what you might say to the President of the United States when he arrives, positively or negatively. We might like to think that we would know what we'd do and what we'd say, but I think the reality would be quite different. Just picture the logistics of the whole thing. Over the next couple of days, Secret Service agents have appeared, and they are inspecting and evaluating your home, background checks on you and all your relatives, aircraft from the airport grounded, Air Force One, the presidential plane, or Marine One, presidential helicopter landing at the airport with all its escorts, a long motorcade stretching from the airport all the way to the village, featuring in the middle, the armored limousine, the beast. with the American flag on the bonnet, or the hood, I should say. A police roadblock set up at either ends of Evans Lane. And then the president walks into your living room, surrounded by his entourage and his bodyguards armed to the teeth. There are many reasons why this scenario is unlikely. But would you whip out your prepared speech? Probably not. Would you crack jokes? Probably not. Would you say everything you planned to say? Probably not. Would you be quieter than you thought you'd be? Probably. How much more reverent, how much more dumbstruck and awe-filled should we be when we consider God himself rousing himself from heaven, verse 13 says, and coming to live with his people. Israel in Zechariah's time hadn't witnessed for themselves the terror of Mount Sinai. They hadn't seen for themselves God's glory settle on the tabernacle. And they needed to be told these two things, as we do this morning, that God's presence means singing for joy, but it also means being still before him. Advent is a great time to do that as we build up to Christmas. To celebrate, yes. To sing and shout for joy. But also to take time to show reverence and stillness before God. The God who roused himself from heaven and entered our world as a human being. If it's true that God is with us by his Spirit, then our time together like this as a church should be characterized by both those things, by joy, shouting and singing for joy, and also stillness and quietness and reverence. When we're exuberant and loud in our worship, and at other times silent in his presence. God's people in Zechariah's time needed to be reminded that God's presence with them was because he was committed to them. Verse 12 said, "The Lord will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land and will again choose Jerusalem." When God promises to be with his people, he won't turn his back on his promise. Many of us go through seasons of our life when we ask, "Is God still with us? Is God still with me?" And maybe because of that, we struggle to think of God with reverence. I know sometimes I find it hard to quiet my heart before him, the God who has roused himself from heaven and come down to us. Maybe you ask, "Is God still with me?" Well, like God's people in the Old Testament, if you are in Christ, then God has chosen you. His Spirit lives in you. Elsewhere in the Bible describes the Holy Spirit as a seal or a deposit. So the fact that God lives in you now is his guarantee that he will always live with you. The Holy Spirit living in us as individuals and among us as a church is God's guarantee that we will enjoy his presence forever, stretching into eternity. God is still with us. He is still with you. Take time to sit or kneel in reverent stillness and silence before him. Revelation 21 verse 3 shows us that future day when God's kingdom will be established forever. This is how eternity is described. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Isn't it a wonderful picture? Just as God promised to come and be with his people again, he did, in the person of Jesus Christ. And just as he lived among us in his Son, Jesus, God now dwells in us and among us by the Holy Spirit. And just as the Holy Spirit dwells in us and among us in his people today, so we will enjoy the presence of our God and King forever. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, Sovereign Lord, we just thank you for the staggering promises that you make in your word, promises that you always keep. We thank you for these promises that you made through Zechariah to your people, Israel, and how wonderful it must have sounded to their ears. Father, thank you that we have seen greater expressions and greater fulfillment of your incredible promises in the past. Your promises to be with your people and to dwell among your people. Thank you for sending the Lord Jesus, who is the Word incarnate, God walking among us. Thank you that we can know you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you that though Jesus has died and raised and ascended into heaven, thank you that he is with us, that God is with us through the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you dwell in us and that you dwell among us. Thank you, Lord, for your guarantee, your promise that we will enjoy your presence for all eternity. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to shout and sing for joy that God is with us, and also to be still and reverent before you. In Jesus' name, amen.